Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We see your hand at work in each of our lives, and we can give testimony and thanks. We can see how you work so mightily throughout the earth, and that in each area we rejoice to see that you have not abandoned us, but that you are still with us, drawing us closer to yourself. This morning, Lord, as we open up your word to hear the message that you have for us, my prayer is that your words would speak to us clearly, that we would hear your voice behind them, and that they would speak volumes to our hearts, that you would bring us closer to yourself and strengthen our faith, that we might serve you mightily in the days and the months and the years to come. For you are a true and living God who needs and deserves to be worshipped and to be served. We thank you for that privilege. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Yesterday as I came to church, I came here a bit early yesterday in an effort to do a little bit of my share in regards to the VBS. I really do feel badly that I wasn't able to be here this week. Last year I was able to be here, and I'll tell you, it did wonders for my own heart to see the kids and the parents and hear their comments that they enjoyed themselves, to see everything that went on. And I was disappointed I couldn't make it this year. But I could see as I walked into the church all the effort that went into having a successful VBS. The labor that went into picking out and purchasing the decorations as came into the church. All the labor in putting up those decorations to give a church a beach sort of atmosphere, a sunsurf beach bash setting, so to speak. And it was great. The nautical feeling that it got when I walked into the church to see the sailboat and the sunrise and the lighthouse and all, and especially the seagulls, and the one that was right over my head in particular. I'm glad it was just pretend. The labor that went into preparing and developing the snacks for the children so that they wouldn't starve as they spent their time here. The labor in getting the physical activities ready so that the kids would have an opportunity to burn off some of that energy before they came back into the classroom. The work that was involved in getting the music ready and the video and working to get the songs prepared and the music to sing them. As they met up with Jesus, some for the very first time in their lives, some in perhaps a very different way than what they might be used to. They heard how in all things in their lives, they can look up to Jesus. And when they are unsure and that times are tough for them, that there is one which way to go, they can follow him because he is the way. In him they can trust because he is merciful and the one and only God. Even our advertising department put the word out and drew the signs and made sure that the community knew we were having a VBS and that a good turnout came, averaging 28 children or so a day, I understand, that this way they could come and that they could be fired up for Jesus. Yes, there was a lot of labor involved in preparing, conducting, cleaning up, that all made the 2011 VBS here at Blue Point Bible Church a success. So that as I walked in and I looked around, I could not help but feel a great sense of gratitude for all the work, an awe for the labor and the time, and a pride in all your efforts and great job that you did. It is amazing that a church our size, without an enormous congregation, with all of us working our own jobs, living our own lives, that we can set those aside for a time in order to come together for the purpose of spreading the gospel. That the price that you paid in putting those things aside, in sweating, in preparing, in laboring, that it was successful, that it was well, well worth it. And my hat is definitely off to you all. Oh, there was one other ingredient, which was very much in the mix of things, and I'm sure that without a successful VBS, I mean, without it, it would not have been as successful with VBS. And that one ingredient, besides all the labor, time, and effort, is the most important, the ingredient of love. Love, first and foremost, for our Lord and our Savior, for we love Him because He first loved us. To think that He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. And it was in love that He predestined us unto Himself. And how lovable are we? Our backs were turned to Him. Our eyes were set on our own goals and our own lives. We walked according to our own steps and our own plans. We never looked for God. We never searched for Him. We were satisfied to do just what we wanted. We were sinners, and we were satisfied. And even with our rebellion and our turning our backs on God, He did not forsake us. He loved us so much that He offered up Himself unto death to allow His blood to be shed and poured out onto the dirt of Calvary's Hill, so that that very blood would wash our sins clean from us. And that He did this because He loved us. And that by that gift of faith, we trust, we cling to, we hold fast to our Lord and Savior. And we can stand blameless before a holy God because of what He has done in redeeming us. Yes, love is a very big ingredient. Because in all our efforts, in all the labor and all the sweat, and from what I understand, on Monday and Tuesday, there was a lot of sweat. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if we spoke with tongues of angels, if we knew all the mysteries and had all the knowledge, if we could run a VBS with 200 children a day and did not have love, we would have nothing. But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses tells the people, the Israelites, in chapter 10, verse 12, "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Love Him and to serve Him. This is the key to a successful VBS. To serve the Lord does not mean that we just wait on Him hand and foot, waiting for His beckoning call to serve Him, to offer things up to God. For what could we possibly offer to the God who created all things? Matthew 25, Jesus is telling of judgment that was going to come, and that of it in regards to sheep and goats. And we read in verses 34-40, it says, "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away." Chapter 25. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to the one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Our service to the Lord is loving our neighbor and serving one another as though that very next person to us was ourselves. Therefore, it was love for our Lord that motivates us to have a successful VBS. As much as a desire to serve Him in ministering to the children who come on that during that week. If you would open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 78. I'd like to look at verses 1 through 7. Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. Listen, O my people, to my instruction. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. This is an ancient psalm, a time long ago, but it was used to teach the people of Israel. It was at a time when it was not easy just to simply write on paper with paper and pencil and pass it along to others. Most of the way that these teachings were passed on from generation to generation was a verbal, traditional way of giving forth the lessons that God had taught. They were encouraged and told that it was important to pass these traditions, teachings, and wonders of God down to their children and their children's children. And it was to preserve the great things, the wondrous things that God has done for His people. So that you see in verses 1 through 3, it is just an admonition to instruct, to be able to get that word out, to listen to the words that were given by God. Yet in starting in verse 4, we read who was the intended audience and who it was supposed to go to. We will not conceal them from their children. Yes, the instructions that God had for His people were meant to go to the children. They were meant to be passed along, to bring up one generation after another in the ways that God had for them. The desire to maintain these teachings and the standards that God had set from one generation that should be held by the next. Our main responsibility is in preserving those traditions, those teachings, and to pass them along to our children. If one mature generation holds on to those lessons and the words of God and fails to pass them along, there will be a big gap, and those lessons will not be continued on. They will be forgotten. They will be put to the side. And the saddest part of all is that the children of future generations will not know God nor hear His voice. So it is so important to heed these admonitions, to pass God's word on to the children in generations to come. Just as Israel had wandered the desert with Moses, that generation who does not hear the words of God will wander in a desert, lacking for the living water that only God Himself can provide through His word. They will be wandering through aimlessly through their lives, not knowing in whom to trust, in whom to listen to, and not to know the love of God. So this past week, when the verses were read in the VBS, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. When I am afraid, I will trust in You. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always. If you're not familiar, each one was one of the verses of the day throughout this past week. So that these five verses that the children heard may be the only connection they ever have to God and his word. They may have heard different expressions of who God is, but at least this week, they opened up a Bible. They understood that it means something to open up that Bible and to read the words that are on those pages as though it were God's voice speaking to them. They were exposed to God's word, and be grateful that they heard it here in our church. And may that seed that was planted this week in some of their hearts, the seed of God's word, which when they hear more of God's word, will be the watering and the nurturing that might produce that seed into a good fruit, ripe for the harvest of God. The words which Moses gives here to his people were meant to be passed along to the children as well. And we read in Deuteronomy 6:7, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shalt talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Children today, if they are lucky, are exposed to God's word maybe once a week if they go to church. Or even for some, it might be just once a year when they come to a VBS program. And how so often we have failed to adhere to God's commandment, to speak to our children, to let them know the things of God and the wonders that he has done in past generations. And this is why running a VBS, though it's laborious at times, it shows our love to serve him by bringing God's word to these children. Continuing through Psalm 78, verse 4, it continues, "But tell to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wondrous works that he has done." In our secular society today, it seems as though there is a very vocal group that is trying desperately to eliminate God from our society. They see God in our society as the villain, where evolution has produced this amazing, marvelous world, and that it was by random chance processes that we have become the wonderful beings that we are. When we as a people then can go and look at our ancestors who were in the zoo and say, "This is where we came from," it is a sad day in our society. When this happens, our children and the generations to come will fail to hear God's word. They will fail to see where praise and glory is truly deserved to the one and true living God. Whom will they then turn to? How will they show their appreciation if they don't see God as their creator and the author of life? In whom will they cling to? Through the ministry of the VBS, you have exposed these children to the one who rightly deserves that praise, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the most juvenile of language and the most basic of teachings in our VBS program, some may grow old seeing God's hand in their lives, seeing God as a creator and whom they should offer their praise and their thanksgiving to. And all praise is due him. In verse 5, it tells us that by the design of God, that the teachings of God were to be done from one generation to another and should be taught primarily by the fathers of the family. And this way, I think that it is so that the father who brings his children close to him can not only tell the children of the great things God has done, bringing Israel, creating the world, bringing Israel out of Egypt, and so forth and so on. But it allows the Father to tell the children of the marvelous things that God has done in his own life, in bringing him to faith, in giving him the opportunity to become a father, in being able to have the privilege to share God's work and what he has done in his life to his children. To the point of even saying, we praise the Lord for him to open up your mom's womb and to produce you to as a gift to us. For a father who knows the Lord can speak firsthand of the things that God has provided for him. And that gives us the opportunity to give testimony of God's love and blessings in our lives. It's sort of a method of communications where from our heavenly Father to an earthly Father, to children to become children of God by faith in hearing his word. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful way of passing on this cycle of faith that provides an everlasting life to onto generations. In verse 6 of Psalm 78, it says that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them of their children, to their children. The knowledge of God and his amazing grace is a lesson we must be able to pass on from one generation to the next, to even those who have not been born yet, that they would hear the story of God and his love. The gospel must be preached not only throughout the world, but most importantly from generation to generation that comes along. It is very interesting that when you see in the world, in the field of politics, when a communist regime comes into a nation, the first thing they do is eliminate God from their society. That communist regime wants to be the one in whom everyone turns to. Oh, the government will support us. The government will take care of us. The government will provide for us. Everything that we need in our lives can be gained from the government. And from that first generation that doesn't hear of the wonders of God, they become an atheistic society and one who never turns to God. That's why it's so important to pass these lessons on from generation to generation, so that those who come after us would know of the wonders of God and what he has done, so that they would know in whom they can trust in whom they can pray to for what they need, in whom they have everything given to them, even to the point of salvation and eternal life, that their eyes would turn to God and not to a government. In our country, there is that push to get God out of our society. And that in generations to come, if they succeed, they would not hear God's word. Our founding fathers based our nation on God's word. Whatever faith they might hold, they knew one thing to be true. That they were here by God's divine providence. And by his grace, this country was being formed. And that they put into our Constitution and into the documents of our nation, a faith in the one true living God. That at least would be some remnant to be passed on from generation to generation. And that as a people we have been blessed because we have set our sights on God and not just our government. That it is God who holds all good things for us. Verse 7 tells us how it's so important to pass along his word, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And this week during VBS, each of the children that attended had that opportunity to see the effects of faith in your lives, in your time committed to come to this church without air conditioning, without the creature comforts that most churches have. But yet they saw a living faith being lived out, played out in front of their very eyes, in the way you sang the songs, in the way that you give the scripture verses, in the way that we conduct just interact with one another. These children had an opportunity to see a living faith. played out within the community of a church. That they had this chance then to see God's word in action and not just in the black and white words of their Bibles. So that our prayer is that their faith would grow as well. We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And it says, "And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, 'Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all.' And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them." Jesus shows that children are welcomed into his kingdom. And when it was time to worship at that time back in the first century and before, I'm sure that it was primarily the adults that went to temple. It was the adults who brought the sacrifices. It seemed to be the adults who did everything in regards to the temple worship. And then it was their responsibility then to bring it back home to the children, to be able to teach them and to instruct them in the home. But now, under grace, under the ministry that Jesus brings forth, the greater ministry, he is opening his kingdom to the children. And he is saying, unless you, as adults, receive it as a child, one who hears his word, who trusts in what's being said, who clings to him, who's willing to follow him as a child, that's the one who can enter his kingdom. So that we can all come before God as his children and enter that kingdom with him. And here is a beautiful picture of salvation, where we see becoming his children is so important, so that we can stand before him and that he can wrap his arms around us and say, welcome into my kingdom, my child. Enter in because your faith is that of a child. You trust in me, you cling to me. Enter in. This week, the children were invited to come to hear the stories and the lessons of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Lion of Judah, who can take into his arms a child as gently as the very Lamb of God. Please understand that our labor of love in sharing the gospel that went forth was put to good work, good use. That your labor of love will be going to generations to come, that they would hear the old story of Jesus and his glory. That by your labor of love, you all have become evangelists in sharing the gospel and preaching to the children the love of our God. Pray that your labor of love to serve him, that his word and his grace would continue to grow and manifest in these children's lives, and that it would be passed along from generation to generation. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless your efforts and bring forth a fresh crop of good fruit into his kingdom. That as we take down the decorations and we put away the things that were remembered, that we remember of VBS 2011, and we put away our music, our humble efforts will not diminish. Our decorations, our efforts, our labor would diminish, so that the glory of God and his work would increase and bring forth an abundance of faith into these children's lives, and that he would receive all the praise and glory. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, again we come to you as your children, offering ourselves in service to you. And you have blessed us. You have blessed the labor of work and effort and toil. You have blessed us with bringing forth children to hear your word. May our endeavors to serve you only magnify the glory that you truly deserve. and that you would touch these children's lives and bring them unto yourself, to wrap your arms around them, to bring them into your kingdom and provide for them an everlasting life. That their testimony of faith would be passed along from generation to generation. That you would receive all the honor and glory that you truly deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.